Welcome back to the Roundtable's live broadcast from the Carswell Room on the campus of the Sterling and Francine Clark Art Institute in Williamstown, Massachusetts, just steps away from Williams College. Good morning, I'm Joe Donahue.
And I'm Alan Charta.
And we're in a beautiful setting, it's a boardroom, I would say.
But is that B-O-A-R-D?
No, yeah, not B-O-R-E-D. Yeah. No. That's up to us, and we won't let that happen.
No.
But it's this gorgeous building, and we have a beautiful view outside, and we couldn't be more thrilled to be here. So we welcome you. We are going to talk issues with Kevin Moran. We're not going to read your letters this morning. If you want to comment, you're more than welcome to, and we'd love to hear what you have to say, but we won't be reading them this morning because we have a lot to get to in a very short period of time.
We sure do.
Yes, we do. So we want to start things off by welcoming our good friend, Kevin Moran, editor of New England newspapers, including the Berkshire Eagle, the hometown paper right here where we sit. And we love having Kevin on this program, and it's great to have him back with us. I cannot imagine doing a broadcast from the Berkshires and not having Kevin here.
And what does Kevin and Joe Biden have in common?
They've had shots fired outside their homes? I don't know.
They're both vice president.
There you go. All right. I missed that one. How are you, Mr. Vice President?
I am well. You can just call me News Dude.
Okay, News Dude. Yeah. It's great to have you here. So I guess the big thing, we'll get into local stuff in a minute, but I guess, of course, the big story is the State of the Union address last night that the president delivered before the House, the Senate, the Congress. And what did you think? What were the headlines from the address for you guys?
Well, I think the headlines for a lot of people who support the president was, why didn't you give this speech last year?
Indeed.
Maybe 2 years ago. I think a lot of people who don't necessarily support Obama may have tuned in for a little while and tuned back out. But I think one of the most important things that the president said in terms of domestic policy had a lot to do with the middle class. I mean, that seems to me to be a pretty solid ground for this president to stand on going into the last 2 years of his final term. I think it makes it very difficult for the Republicans to argue otherwise, or at least do so to the degree that they might like to. So I thought it was pretty compelling. I think he spoke to the middle class very well last night.
I thought he was terrific. I mean, really confident and filled with himself and, capable of quips and responding, on his feet to, some kind of wise guy stuff from his Republican colleagues. But I also think, Kevin, this middle class thing is very dangerous. I've always thought and said so to the point where Joe's eyelids drop when I say it the next time.
Sorry, what?
What? Which is that the middle class votes in this country. They're the ones who determine whether or not somebody gets elected. Now, when you take something like the community college thing, and we have a wonderful community college here in Berkshire County, Berkshire Community College, with Ellen Kennedy as the wonderful president. And there is the problem. Everybody thinks that it's a great idea to take basically the free 2 years for everybody. The reason it's for everybody as opposed to just for those people who have not is because then the middle class says, oh, them again, they're getting everything, we're not getting anything, why can't my kids have it also? So that's why he comes up and he says, with middle class economics, which is brilliant, but then you have to pay for it. And in order to pay for it, you have to take it away from someone. And it's usually that 1% on the top, which we're hearing so much about, who controls so much of America. And the Republicans, of course, get paid by that group, and they're not about to go along with that proposal.
When you listen to a speech like this, Kevin, do you think, okay, well, what's in this for New England? I mean, that's sort of your your coverage area. So you look at it and say, okay, what are we getting out of this? How is he speaking to the people of the areas we're covering?
Well, it's interesting. I mean, I think, not to go back to the middle class part, but
certainly a large role,
a large role in it. I mean, I don't think he spoke or to any, you know, degree of great specificity with regard to things specifically for New England. I mean, sure, I guess people are concerned with the XL pipeline around here, but he's already, you know, kind of put that position out in previous, you know, declarations. But I, you know, the fact that the college system here in New England is very important, and then we have robust community colleges throughout the area. I think you're right. I think a lot of people are asking themselves, well, it sounds like a great idea, but who is going to pay for it? And if it is the wealthier Americans who are going to pay for it, I still think that probably ideologically speaking, that a lot of middle-class Americans who perhaps don't support President Obama, but have aspirations of, or at least dreams or desires to become wealthier themselves one day, probably bristle at the fact that if, you know, that it might be daunting to, you know, get rich and face the same kind of taxation prospects. But by the same token, if you're a middle class family and you have two children or three children, the president hit it spot on last night when it comes to the community college issue.
Sure.
I mean, I just finished paying my student loans. I'm 44 years old. I just finished paying my student loans a couple of years ago, and with two children of my, you know, of my own, looking forward to, you know, to them to go to college. And so the community college thing resonates. The childcare credit, that tax credit that he talked about, also resonated, I think, with a lot of Americans who are in the position. Because yes, I think a lot of Americans do pay as much, if not more, in childcare per month than they do on their own mortgage.
Absolutely. The Shartocks paid one salary just to take care of our kids while Roselle was teaching, and it is something that is huge, just huge.
And he is right when he says that it is no longer realistic but a necessity that both parents have to work. So childcare then becomes a necessity.
Absolutely.
When you are when you're traveling throughout, your job has you going all over New England, and in fact, Kevin is actually sporting today on the radio a beautiful Kevin Moran tour T-shirt, and it gives all the names of the towns that he's. It was just yesterday that you were at. So where were they?
Brattleboro, Vermont.
Yep.
Bennington, Vermont. Manchester, Vermont, and back to Pittsfield.
Okay, so that's a large tour. So when you travel around, we're talking a lot about the economy as far as the president's address. Looking at the areas you cover and you serve, what sense do you get of the economic picture of New England in this region in particular?
For all intents and purposes, this particular region is rural. There's no question about it. I mean, it's certainly not a metro area. I think, you know, a lot of the communities that I oversee news properties in are former mill communities. And with, obviously, it's a lot of the mills have closed. Fathers have been put out of work, and grandfathers have been put out of work. And I think
GE is gone.
GE is gone. And I think that that has a lasting impression on a family. And I don't fully feel that our region has sort of maybe moved on beyond that, because there is not sort of these great economic panaceas that are coming through. I mean, we don't have huge, gigantic companies any longer that are going to come land here with and employ 5,000, 8,000 workers anymore.
Yeah, what we do have, Kevin, is an arts community unlike anything else in America. When you think about it, you have one Tanglewood or the magnificent Clark, which some people think is one of the best museums in the world, right here, or Mass MoCA with our friend Joe Thompson and everything. So that it's really that compensates to some degree. I saw an article which I didn't like, and I don't want to start up with the name of the newspaper the other day, but
we're going to talk about it a little bit later, actually.
Okay, all right,
but I mean, we can certainly tackle it now if you want.
No,
but,
just to mention that I didn't like the article, and it basically said that Mass MoCA wasn't doing for North Adams what it could be doing. I think, on the contrary, it's doing a great deal.
And Joe Thompson, of course, will be on the program, and we'll talk to him about that. We're going to take a break, and we'll let you think about all of that. And when we come back, we'll get some headlines from you, Kevin, find out what's happening in the region, and we'll be back after this short break. Live from the Clark Art Institute in Williamstown, Massachusetts, you're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.
Support for WAMC comes from Hudson Wine Merchants, Hudson, New York. Celebrating 10 years of wine and food in the Hudson Valley, raise your glass. HudsonWineMerchants.com. Mount St. Mary College, Newburgh. Preparing students for careers in healthcare, business, education, social services, communications, science, IT, and the liberal arts. Admissions open house, Sunday at 9:30 a.m., msmc.edu. And Boyden & Perrin, Amherst, Massachusetts, providing foreign and domestic car, truck, and SUV repair services and a Massachusetts inspection station for over 50 years. BoydenandPerrin.com.
Good morning and welcome back to our Roundtable Live broadcast from the Carswell Room on the campus of the Sterling and Francine Clark Art Institute. We'll just call it the Clark Art Institute between friends. And Alan Chartok is here, and we are talking to our good buddy, news dude, Berkshire news dude, Kevin Moran. So, Kevin, what's making news?
Well, we obviously had a change in who governs our state of Commonwealth of Massachusetts mm-hmm. recently, and it's been interesting because for all intents and purposes, I think most residents of Massachusetts would agree that Governor Deval Patrick did a fairly decent job, but he left office curiously proclaiming that there would be a deficit, but Governor Baker, the new governor of Massachusetts, recently came forth and explained that the state's budget deficit for the current fiscal year is projected at something like $765 million.
That's a much higher amount.
Much higher.
Than we
it's
thought.
By double. It's yeah. by double. So it's very interesting to see, especially when administrations change, how sometimes perspectives change. And I think, you know, we've gone from 8 years of a Democratic governor to, you know, at least 4 years of a Republican governor. And you wonder, too, if political ideology has a different perspective on the numbers,
sure.
You know, for all intents and purposes.
Are you suggesting that that Baker, Charlie, to most of us, has to talk about the deficit, he's going to say it's much greater than it actually is, or even imply that?
I definitely do. I mean, I think yeah. that's, you know, I think... at least it seems to me, my perception is that that Governor Baker is probably going to and is arguing that it is a spending problem, not as opposed to sort of a revenue problem. It's most Massachusetts residents, when they get their first paycheck of the year, if they haven't gotten it already, will soon get it. We'll notice that there's a tiny, slight decrease in this Massachusetts state income tax. So revenues are down. Or, you know, in terms of state income tax, obviously things like the gas tax, which generally are supposed to go to support transportation, are generally level. You know, he's certainly arguing that, you know, it's a spending problem, and he put on a hiring freeze statewide and what have you. But if you're, you know, facing with a deficit, it really does come at a pivotal moment where he can kind of now set the agenda for the state of Massachusetts, because he's taken a fresh look at the books, one would suspect, and has come away with we're in the hole here.
That's a lot of money, of course, but it's a lot comparatively to New York State, where, you know, $500 million, okay, we'll handle it. Massachusetts, that's a lot of money.
It is a lot of money, and I think if it is indeed a spending problem, like Governor Baker suggests, then I'm going to be a little nervous about what the cuts might shape up to look like.
Yeah.
When you look at this new governor, do you have a sense yet, especially since we had a governor here that was very tied to this region, what do you make of the Western New England, Western Massachusetts connection in the governor?
Well, there's a big fear when Charlie Baker, and there's also a debate as to whether the media should refer to him as Charles or Charlie.
But well, he calls himself Charlie.
Yeah. So I'm going to stay with Charlie myself.
Me too. Where's Charlie?
I love that show. Go ahead. Once in Love with Amy. Anyway.
I think there was when Governor Baker, how about that, got elected and took office, that there would be a fear that he would not make himself known to Berkshire County.
He showed up once, right?
He showed up once so far. And, you know, the thing that you also have to keep in mind, too, is that he was, I think he was in charge of administration and finance in the Weld administration. And Charlie Baker made it out to the Berkshires in that capacity. At least twice to my recollection, because I remember interviewing him twice in the Berkshires. So the fact that it's important for the governor, this governor, especially since we've had Deval Patrick living in our backyard and seeing, you know, you can see Governor Patrick going shopping at Guido's or what have you, or at the, you know, at the local markets.
Hanging around with his friend Yo-Yo or people like that.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. I think it means a lot to the Berkshires to have a governor.
We love him.
But it's also interesting, too, because hands down, out of the 32 cities and towns in Berkshire County, not one of them went for Baker. Which so this is not necessarily friendly territory for a Republican governor.
But, so he could either punish us or he could say, I have work to do here.
I would hope that it would be the latter, and I think that's partly the smarter political move for any statewide politician.
You know, Joe, I can't help but remember that when Bill Weld was the governor and Baker was the secretary of administration, somebody came up in that administration with a brilliant idea of taking down the antenna on top of Mount Greylock.
Yeah,
that was very unpopular around here, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. And our Clarence Fanto stood up at a news conference when Weld came and said, are you going to take down that tower, which would have been the end of WMC, basically. And Weld said he had gotten a lot of letters, apparently. He said, no. He said, we think the environmentalists who want this is right. So we've decided to paint the tower green and put a big green bow around it. Nothing like a sense of humor.
It goes a long way, especially in the Berkshires, I think.
We've got about a minute and a half, 2 minutes. What else is making news?
Well, locally in the Berkshires, and this may resonate with listeners outside the areas, we have an interesting case. We have a former police chief in Lee who used to manage a toy fund, a Christmas time toy fund. He has been indicted by a federal grand jury and is now facing charges for basically absconding with the money.
Sticky fingers.
Exactly. And he's no longer the police chief in the town of Lee.
That gets you fired?
That's, well, certainly.
Okay. Right.
But Joseph Buffus, and this is going to be one of those, I think, high-profile cases that the Eagle will be covering throughout the course of the year as the trial. As the hearings go on and the trial goes on, and there'll be a lot of folks interested in seeing what the outcome of this case is.
You bet, because when the cops go bad,
yeah,
that's really bad.
Yes, and I know it's made a lot of his colleagues, at least the allegations have made a lot of them upset.
If the cops go bad, yeah.
Well, for more information on the stories that Kevin has mentioned and the items that we've talked about, BerkshireEagle.com, BerkshireEagle.com. You can also write to us with any comments or thoughts that you have. We'd love to hear it. Just go to WAMC.org/roundtable, and there's a comment section, and you can post your comments there. Also, we want to thank our dear friend, Kevin Moran, the editor of New England Newspapers, and who is with us this morning, as he always is when we travel to the Berkshires. And it's a great pleasure to have you back, and we look forward to our, you know, Tanglewood's just down the road. It'll only be a few weeks.
I'm there.
Excellent.
We're there, Mr. Vice President.
Thank you very much.
You're listening to The Roundtable live from the Clark Art Institute in Williamstown, Massachusetts, after this short break.